He says that he wishes he could be accursed from Christ. You say, nobody should wish that. I mean, isn't that a bad thing? Well, in truth, it is a horrible thing to think about that you would be accursed from Christ. But why on earth would you wish that upon yourself? But he did, because all Paul wanted was to see people get saved who were from Israel. This was his heart's desire. This was his passion. This was his prayer. When Brother Fielder asks you to take a card from that side and come over here and take a card from this side, he is really asking you to fulfill Romans 10:1. Heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. You may not be burdened for Israel, but he said there were over 40 people groups that need someone to have a heart's desire and prayer to God for. Notice he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is what? That they might be saved. The opposite of saved is a curse from Christ. Paul is saying in chapter 9 in verse number 3, he wishes he could be a curse from Christ. Why? Because he wants to see them saved. I got saved so I'm not going to hell. Paul was saying, I'd swap my salvation if I could, just to see Israel get saved. That is a depth of burden for the lost that few ever realize. And this was Paul's heartbeat. Now you're going to have to listen faster because the verses I'm preaching on are way later in the text, but notice what he says. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, meaning I take note of this, they have a zeal of God. A zeal of God is honorable, but it is insufficient to get to heaven. There are people who have a zeal for their religion. September 11, 2001, we saw people who have a zeal for their God and their religion, but those men left this earth in a fiery inferno and woke up in one far worse. And he's saying, a zeal of God. These Israelites, they have a zeal of God. But what's the problem? Note what he says. But it's not according to knowledge. It's not based in fact. In fact, he says in verse number 3, they're ignorant. Ignorant? Well, that's rude. No, ignorant just simply means you lack the education. You lack the training. You don't know. He said they've got a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. This is fundamental to the gospel because God's righteousness is the only way for mankind to be saved. I cannot achieve any merit on my own. I cannot produce enough righteousness. And Israel thought, well, we'll just do our own thing. You've probably even heard that in modern society. If I do enough good, it'll outweigh my bad. And then God will take me in. That doesn't make sense when you look at Scripture. But how many times have you heard that in your life? Zeal of God, not according to knowledge. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. And the very reason we are here tonight is because most of the world is ignorant of God's righteousness. In fact, like Israel, mankind still today, verse 3, going about to establish their own righteousness. And what's the problem? They haven't submitted to the righteousness of God. There's no salvation in any other than the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other way to attain righteousness. You say, well, look, all of these religions in the world, mankind, all of them lead to God. Nuh-uh. That was the best I could come up with. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you can't establish your own righteousness. You can't get to heaven without Jesus Christ. And I look further as we read in verse number 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Notice the connection. Believing is access to righteousness. Man doesn't work for his salvation. The traditions of men have never saved anybody. So salvation is by faith. Righteousness comes by believing. Abraham got salvation because of his faith. Oh, I've watched people in other places around the world trying to earn God's attention through deeds and actions. I've been in Spanish-speaking countries with a high rate of Catholicism and watched people whip themselves on the back, scourge themselves, crucify themselves, crawl on broken glass and nails just to get God's attention. You say, how religious, but it's insufficient. They are ignorant of God's righteousness, and the reason this church invests so heavily in the gospel and its propagation is for one reason. People are ignorant of God's righteousness. They must hear, and when they hear, they'll believe. Note, if you would please hear, and we'll just kind of jump ahead a few verses because none of you are listening fast enough. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart. You say, whoa, there's a mistake. There's a mistake right there. I knew the Bible had mistakes. No mistakes. Well, you don't think with your heart. You think with your brain. So do you say to your wife, I love you with all my brain? Now, some of you guys are looking for pointers. That doesn't work. Don't try. What do you say? I love you with all my heart. Why? I know it's a muscle. It moves blood and stuff. Trust me, I had open heart surgery. They pulled it out. They fixed it and then put it back in. I understand it's just a muscle, but when we realize this is the deepest essence of who we are and say, I believe in mine heart, what? That God hath raised him from the dead. What happens? Thou shalt be saved. What power to realize in verse number 13, this message of salvation is available to whosoever's. Wow. What's a whosoever? More appropriate, who is a whosoever, and technically, whom is a whosoever? What's a whosoever? Do you know one? Guy's raising his hand in the back. One guy, he knows one. If you're breathing, you're a whosoever. If you're gasping for breath, you're a whosoever. If you're ugly, I got the front row. If you're ugly, you're... This front row, this front row. You got to tell me the pastor's on the front row when you say stuff like that, right? Anyone can be saved. Oh, now, Brother O'Malley, look, I heard this really smart guy on the radio, and he's got a huge among his church, and he said it doesn't really mean that. I think Jesus is so smart he would have used a different word if it didn't really mean whosoever. Means anyone. The gospel works wherever we take it. So I'm afraid I'll offend someone. Hell is offensive. Stopping people from going is welcome. And he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Paul takes all that he said about Israel and faith and righteousness and leads them down a logical path. And he does so with questions. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach without a preacher? except they be sent. As it is written. That means that he's going to quote from somewhere else that is scripture. As it is written. So who's going to write this? Well, this came from Isaiah. And Paul is applying it here. How beautiful are the feet of them. You say, no. No. Feet are ugly. Now, I know you ladies will spend a lot of money and you'll go and you'll try to do something with the ends of the stubs of your toes. You'll pay someone to have fish eat the flesh around your toenails. You'll have someone massage your feet and decorate them, adorn them like they were some Christmas tree or something. Some of you will bite your toenails off. These are ugly things. Paul just said, how beautiful. Like, wow, that's messed up. How can feet be beautiful? And then I want to ask myself the next logical question. Paul is quoting Isaiah. Isaiah says feet can be beautiful. My question is, hey, that's not my foot. I don't know where they came up with that. That's on them. Oh, it's a map. I thought it was mud. Ura, who's a Ura? Anyhow, when I get so distracted with shiny and pretty things, it's like terrible. So, what's your name right here, blue shirt? What's your name? Ethan? Come help me. Stay 6 feet from me, but come to me. All right. So, Ethan, what do your feet look like right now? That any sentence that starts with or makes me yearn for slow death. Is your mom here or your dad? The parental units of Ethan, please raise your hand. Yes, I know they don't have to. Their faces are so red. Ethan, are you wearing socks?
Yes.
When was the last time you bathed? Sometime this year?
Yesterday.
Great, yesterday. Good enough for me. If I asked you to take your shoes and socks off, Mom's thinking, do they have holes in them or not? I won't. If I did, I just wanted to see if your mom's face could, like, get deeper red. That's what I was just going for. I didn't mean to. So I did mean to. I'm sorry. I did, truthfully. Would you say your feet are beautiful?
No.
Has some girl in this church walked up to you and said, oh, Ethan, your feet are so beautiful? No. If she does, run. Just run. Best advice I can give. We generally don't walk up to people and say, wow, your feet are beautiful. Now, women do when they paint their stubs, I get it, nails, whatever you call them. You say, oh, your toes are so pretty. I mean, it's like, that's weird. Stop looking at my toes, right? But, Ethan, is the Bible true? Yeah. Why would the Bible say feet are beautiful? Good thing you don't know, because that's what I'm going to preach about. So this is going to work out for you. Ethan, I want to know two things. Why does the Bible say feet can be beautiful? And secondly, when do my feet become beautiful? How do I know I have beautiful feet? We could look at each other and convince and say, well, you don't even have shoelaces. What in the world? Like an old man with no shoelaces, just loafers. We'll put them on. That's what I'm wearing too. The old guy laughed. I get it. Okay. At least you don't have Velcro yet. When do our feet become beautiful? Third question, does God think I have beautiful feet. And does God think you have beautiful feet? Ethan, I'd shake your hand, but off you go. He says, how beautiful are the feet of them that what? Note the verse. That preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. If something is beautiful, it means they delight the senses. They excite the intellect. They bring emotional admiration. It means there's something to behold. The question is before us, are your feet beautiful to God? What makes feet beautiful? You know, if we were Free Will Baptists and foot washers, we could really go to town on this one. No, we're not washing feet here. No, he looks. Ethan, sometime before tomorrow, do the feet, okay? All right. When mom says take a bath tonight, realize she has a purpose. Okay, good. Paul presents to us that those who are involved in the missionary enterprise are those who have beautiful feet. What's the missionary enterprise? It's the whole transaction. It's everything that is involved. It's those who give and those who go and those who pray and those who send and those who carry and those who take and those who sustain. Those who are involved in the missionary enterprise have beautiful feet. Before I get too ahead of myself, remember what Paul said in 14 and 15. People will never call on Christ if they have not believed. People will never believe on Christ if they have not heard. People will never hear of Christ without a preacher. People will never have a preacher without someone to send them. Tonight I want to propose to you four things about when feet become beautiful to God. First one. Notice, if you would please, in verse number 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Number one, I'm going to give you four things that you could write down because there'll be a test tomorrow and we won't let you go to lunch unless you pass the test. So mark these down. Number one, feet become beautiful to God when they contribute to the gospel. What does the verse say? Except they be sent. If I am involved in missions, the missionary enterprise, that means that I am contributing to the gospel. My feet become beautiful. Oh, it would be wonderful to look at our brother here, Brother Chris, with claim. Ma'am, what's his feet look like? A little hairy. Thanks. I never thought I'd say something like that from the pulpit. Okay, I saw you looking at him when we were talking about feet earlier, and that's what begged this question. But when he shows up to these projects to take care of God's people and helps missionaries and churches get a building built or a project done, that's part of when feet become beautiful, because you're contributing of yourself to do that, Chris. Furthermore, when you support Chris, your feet become beautiful. Ethan, when you give to missions, no, there's no other Ethan here for me, buddy. It's you and me tonight. Ethan, the Bible teaches your feet, whether recently bathed or not, are beautiful when you give. Because that's the only way we get missionaries sent. Preachers are sent when people give. Here's the second thing I want you to see. You see my messages? Wow, super short. Very long introductions, mostly because most people don't listen fast. Here's the second point. Big point number two to let you go to lunch tomorrow. Feet become beautiful when they are called to the gospel. Not just when you contribute, But you're called. I believe all are enlisted in the missionary enterprise of the gospel. I think all are enlisted to the gospel. In some way, your assignment is the gospel. But there are people who are called. Our brother is here tonight with his family, recently served in England and before that in the Soviet Union, and now coming back to take a new ministry and take that 20 years of experience and put it to work helping other missionaries and strengthening the lives of other missionary projects that are going on. That kind of experience, that kind of depth of knowledge says God called him when people are called. You say, well, I've never been called. That's okay. God knows how to get your attention. Just tell me you've been called to stay. Tell me that your role here in the gospel is to contribute to the gospel. I think everybody ought to be involved in the missionary enterprise. And when our feet become beautiful, one, when I am called, or for when I contribute, but number two, when I'm called, when God selects some to go, number three. I believe if I go back to this verse, I look in 15, and I realize when people contribute, because it says they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. So we realize that we have to have someone who preaches. Notice what else we have. When our feet become beautiful, number three, when we carry the gospel. Notice what it's saying. We are bringing it. Bringing it means that we are taking it to the villages, to the cities, to the privileged, to the unprivileged, to the seaside and the hillside, to the poor and to the rich, to places where there's wells and women who sit at the well and those who are in the desert and need to hear the gospel. This is our job. Bringing the gospel means there is a destination. There is a direction to go. There is a people who must be reached, a pursuit that must be made, a message that is to be known, shared, preached, and delivered. That's when feet become beautiful. Number four, they preach. They bring, and what are they bringing? Glad tidings of good things. Number four, when they communicate the gospel, when do my feet become beautiful? And are my feet beautiful to God? My feet are beautiful to God when I communicate the gospel. Glad tidings of good things. What are the glad tidings of good things? Oh, the glad tidings of good things are the fact that God wants to adopt everyone into His family. God wants to give you His righteousness for your unrighteousness. God wants you to know grace and mercy. God wants you to know forgiveness. God wants you to know His Son. Yes, these are the things that which make our feet beautiful. When we contribute, when we're called to the gospel, when we carry the gospel, and lastly, when we communicate the gospel, these are the things which make our feet beautiful. My question for you tonight is this one thing. Are your feet beautiful? You say, well, Mr. O'Malley, I've never really even thought about that. You should. When you contribute, when you're called, when you carry the gospel, when you communicate it, your feet become beautiful. I'm not talking about toenails, painted, pedicure things. I'm talking about gospel-made beautiful feet. Donald Barnhouse, pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church, wrote of a missionary who said he was in West Africa and he was in a village, and in this village, a man had elephantiasis. Elephantiasis. What is that? Imagine from your knee down to your heel, your feet, your legs, your calves become 12 to 15 inches wide. And it becomes like your feet. And if you have family or you know someone, you understand this, but it's gross. And your legs become stumps. Walking is pure torture. And in this West African village, a man, a missionary, and there's a doctor in that same village, they were working together, and they reached a man who had elephantiasis. He was so moved by the gospel. The man stood and every day walked to every hut in that village to deliver the news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, someone told me, I must tell them. And you say, well, oh my goodness, sir, you're exempt. Your feet, your legs, it's horrible. You shouldn't be going. And he said, but if I don't tell them, who will? He finished his village, and there was a village 2 miles away, and he would walk to that village and tell everyone in that village, and he finished that village. He would go and he'd come back home, and you can imagine how leathery and torn and shredded the stumps of his feet were. And he said to the missionary, there's a larger village 10 miles from here. I have to go. The missionary told him, no, you can't. He told his family, I have to go. And his family said, you shouldn't. And one morning, the family awoke and he was gone, left before dawn. The villagers tell this side of the story. He arrived at noon and wouldn't take a meal and began going door to door, hut to hut, to do one thing. To share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bring glad tidings of good things. He left after sunset and walked back home, and at midnight collapsed on the door of the missionary and the doctor. Missionary brought him inside the house. The doctor came, and the two of them began to. And we just ate supper. I'm not trying to be gross, but I'm just simply relating to you as it was written. The bloody mess of the stubs and the stumps of his legs were horrible. And the missionary and the doctor said, tears mixed with the salve that we used to doctor his feet. And they said, these are beautiful feet. See, well, they were ugly, they were horrid, they were disgusting, they're repulsive. Yes, 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 and yes. But that's what we have to understand. We can adorn our feet any way we choose, but what makes feet beautiful to God is when we're involved in the missionary enterprise. Why are we doing this week? To say, who here has beautiful feet? Ethan's there and he's got his posse there and they're just one. You signed off, you said you're out. It's his posse. What's his name? No way. Two Ethans in the same row? Could you all come up with another name? Or he's not yours. Got it. They disowned you quickly, man. No matter who you are, teen, adult, senior, married, unmarried, don't you want beautiful feet? Don't you want God to say, oh, those are beautiful? The world may look at your shoes and your feet and say something about your shoes or your feet, but when it comes down to this, Faith Baptist Church wants a church house filled with people with beautiful feet. When we give, it makes our feet beautiful. When we're called, it makes our feet beautiful. When we carry, it makes our feet beautiful. When we communicate, it makes our feet beautiful. Would you stand with me? Your Father, tonight, in the heart of my hearts, I genuinely want to tell you, I want to have feet which are beautiful to you. Thank you for that guy who was in the West African village with elephantiasis, who shames me and teaches me. How many excuses I've used. May this church truly desire to have beautiful feet. I wonder who here tonight, just by upraised hand, would say, Mr. O'Malley, would you pray for me that my feet will be beautiful to God? Just raise your hand. It's just fine. Praise the Lord for these several who have. Tonight, the music is going to play in just a moment. And when you hear that note, or right now if you're ready, why don't you come and say, God, make my feet beautiful. I've not been part of the missionary enterprise of this church. I've adorned my feet with everything else but the gospel. May my feet be beautiful to thee. As our sister begins to play, why don't you come?
Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are going to play through a verse or two of this song. We're not going to sing tonight, but I want to give you a chance to use the altar if God has spoken to your heart. Some are coming already.